B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Now, let's talk to the man who has already reviewed the film and can tell us all the X and O's about what went on in this game. The great Ron Jaworski, number 7, joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Charles, what did you see yesterday?
Hey, Michael, I'm on to the bye week already. It was a nice win. Get everybody healthy and come back and get ready for the New England Patriots. Now, it was a very uneven game. I thought the defense in the first half, and it was pretty obvious just watching the game on television before I got to look at the tape this morning, is it was a dominant defensive performance in that first half. I mean, they just and I kind of felt it literally. You know, it's easy to say now when I have access to the results. But when Trubisky threw that first ball, you know, that old cut early in the game and missed the guy by about 8 yards.
Yes.
I knew it was over. I'm telling you, it's like, I knew it was over. I said, this guy, I was actually surprised that Matt Nagy sent him out there after the first half. I mean, he had the deer in the headlights look. Then when I looked at the tape, I mean, whenever there was any kind of pressure on him, anybody near him, his mechanics broke down completely. You know, when he had a nice, comfortable pocket and he could throw from the cradle and plant and step, you know, he's an efficient guy, but that's not the NFL. There's always bodies around you. And they just have such an impact on him. When anyone's close to him, he just can't maintain that poise and that presence in the pocket. So the Eagles knew that going in. They knew how they could handle him. They knew they could rattle him. They didn't have to blitz a whole lot. Their front four, you know, once again played a terrific football game. So from a defense perspective, the first half was total domination. I don't know if they let up a little bit in the second half. It actually became a football game, which I was like shocked and disgusted at the same time. Because when you get someone down like that, you got to put your foot in the throat and don't even let them breathe.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, they weren't that impressed. The first two drives, they got the ball right down the field. They had to settle for three. But you're right. You never got the impression that Chicago's going to be able to score enough to win that game yesterday because that quarterback, not being able to make plays. What did you think of him when he was coming out? And why would the Bears have taken that kind of a leap for a guy who played 1 year? And it was such a reach, I thought.
You just said the key, and this is how I look at these guys. I do subscribe to the kind of Bill Parcells theory of quarterback evaluation. 1 year wonders usually don't make it in the NFL. They just don't. And you look at the history. Yeah, either, you know, occasionally you'll have a guy that had one great year of college, and you know, maybe gone to the pros and has been a good player. But for the most part, guys that are the 1 year wonders and they come to the NFL, that you know, they don't have the experience. They don't have the ups and downs that you have to be consistent at the NFL level. Trubisky was that kind of guy. He never got knocked down, never got beat up. He never got his nose bloodied. He never had to get sacked 5 times and throw in three interceptions and then come back to practice on Wednesday and walk in the huddle and say, "Hey, guys, I'm still your quarterback." You know, that's when you're tested in this league. Not when you throw 4 touchdown passes and everybody's patting you on the back. It's when you got your butt handed to you and you got to walk in that huddle and there's 20 eyeballs looking at you to see how you're going to handle it. And he's never been in that situation. So you can see how he is now. He just doesn't handle the adversity very well.
All right, let's look at the Eagles. And here's what's evident. Their defense, I thought, played well yesterday. But on offense, it's evident they can't get the ball down the field. They seem incapable of getting a 30-plus yard play. And now with Deshaun in the news today, how do they get this thing done?
Well, they're not. They're not. You know, there isn't a 1-800 dial speedy wide receiver. You know, it's just not there. There's 31 other teams looking for that guy, and this is the Eagles roster right now. From that perspective, the only disappointing performance yesterday to me was Alshon. Here's a guy that's reliable. You can count on him. He just had a bad day. You know, when you have drops like he had in the game, balls he normally catches. I mean, that's disappointing, but he's a seasoned pro. He'll bounce back, but he's not going to give you those 30 and 40 yard passes down the field. It's just not going to happen with him. They just don't have that kind of receiver. So it's going to have to be more of a, what we've seen the last couple weeks. Hey, hammer that running game. The offensive line was very, very good again. I thought Brandon Brooks had one of his best games of his career yesterday. He was a dominating player. And of course, it always helps when Eddie Goldman goes out, and also you got Hicks out as well. They're all pro tackles, so he beat up some younger guys that weren't that good. But I think what you're going to see from the Eagles now is going to be more of a ball control team, use the play action passing game, and use the tight ends. I was thrilled yesterday to see Zach Ertz become a primary player in the game plan.
All right, so can they be successful? And I guess I guess my question should be, what is the ceiling on their success playing that way?
Well, you know, I think the next two games are going to mean a lot, Mike. I mean, you got obviously New England and Seattle coming in. After that, they're all winnable games except the Dallas game. I think everyone has December 22nd circled on their calendar right now. That will probably be the game that will determine, you know, who's going to win the division. The Cowboys have a light schedule as well. You know, they got the Patriots, they've got the Bears, and they got Minnesota, I believe. So that's it. Other than that, you know, you got the dreadful Redskins and Giants and Eagles have them twice. So yeah, they're really only between the Cowboys and the Eagles, you know, there's just a couple games where they're going to be competitive football games where, you know, either team could lose a game. But so I think you look at that December 22nd game, and then you start looking at the matchups. Are the Eagles going to be explosive enough to beat a Cowboy team that seems to be hitting their stride right now? And I know it's a little bit down the road, but, you know, you've taught me I got to look at things that way, Mike. If you train me that way, you got to look at
it. You don't like going down the road.
I don't like, you know, yeah. No, I'm looking at the bye week. You know?
Right.
But it's gonna come down to that December 22nd game.
All right, you watch a lot of film, and I'm curious to know what you see when you're looking at guys like that they're throwing out there, like Hollins and Aguilar, and I don't know when J.J. Whiteside Arthaga's been on the field, but what are these guys doing? Are they wandering aimlessly? Are they trying to get open? Are they open? They're not just looking their way. What do you see?
Mike, they're professionals. They're busting their butt to get open. I mean, they're working their tail off to give Carson somewhere to go with the football. This is the talent level that is there right now. I mean, hey, you know, I'd love the guys for their effort, what they do. They just don't seem to be targeted type players. You know, if Carson needs a play, you know where he's going to go. He's going to try to get to Alshon. You know, he's going to try to get to Ertz. He's always going to try to get to Goddard, and maybe if they can get some man coverage, they're going to use Sanders and get a match on the linebacker. But, you know, even with Aguilar, who's, you know, came into this league as a speedy guy, has not been that kind of deep threat. And that's, you know, I don't know if that'll ever happen. It just hasn't happened. But these are guys that really, when you look at the design of the offense, they're really not the first option. You know, they're the second and third option. So if you have to go somewhere else, that's what they are. They're not the primary receiver, and that's the way this offense is designed right now.
Did they make a mistake not adding a receiver to trade deadline?
You know, you'd have liked to see that speedy guy, but we were all holding our breath that Deshaun would come back. And now in hindsight, I think everyone wishes he would have had the surgery back after week one when the sports hernia took place. And now, you know, we're looking at another 6 weeks. And I think in all likelihood, it's probably a season ender for him. I don't mean to play doctor, but it does not look good in that regard. So in hindsight, you could say, well, if they didn't know he was going to be healthy, they could have looked, they could have made a trade, you know, like last year getting a Golden Tate late, you know, at the trade deadline.
It's kind of short-sighted to think that he wouldn't get hurt again, though, wasn't
it? Well, yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but I think, you know, they felt he would come back. It was, you know, I mean, that's how I would look at it, and to the best of my knowledge, that's how they felt about it, that he would be able to come back. But I think everyone knows these sports hernias. Unless you have the surgery, they're likely to reoccur.
All right, Charles. So, bye week. Have a good bye week. Relax.
Can I take a week off, Mike? I'll go on vacation.
Take a week off. We'll catch your show Wednesday.
All right, man. Thanks,
right,
Mike.
There he is, Ron Jaworski, joining us every Monday after a game.